strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
You are the God who restores. With just one word, the world was full. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys, in every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's overcome. King of kings, let your kingdom come.
Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord.
Let all of the earth, all of creation praise your name. Your light is brighter than the sun, stronger than the grave. Your love has overcome the darkest day. Your light is brighter than the sun, is stronger than the grave. Yes, it is. Your love has overcome the darkest of days. Let all of the earth, let all of creation praise His name.
Thank you. Are you thankful that he's all you need this morning? God, we just thank you, Father God. You are all that we need, Father. He holds your life in his hands. And every time I hear that song, I'm thinking about 10 years ago when it first came out, and my sister was at Fine Arts, and I was with her, and she was practicing in a convention center and dislocated her knee. They called the ambulance. They couldn't get, you know, they didn't put it back in. And on the way, it was the bumpiest road you have ever seen in Indianapolis. But that was the only thing that comforted her. It was over every bump in the road that was singing this song. We had just learned it. You know, Jesus is our healer. And maybe in your life, you're going over some bumps, and every bump is painful. But God reminds us today, he is enough for you. He's your healer. He holds your life in his hand. I don't know about you, but that is a comfort for me. You know, he calms my raging seas. It doesn't matter what the sea, what's going on, he calms our seas. It may not be how we expect them to be calmed, but he calms our seas, and he's right there with us. Let's just pray. And whatever is going on in your life, whatever bump in the road is going on in your life, just give it to him. And just open up yourself to allow him to come in and remind you that he holds your life in his hands. God, we just thank you that you are our healer. God, nothing is impossible for you, God. I pray whatever is represented here in this house, healings, God, family problems, healings that are needed in families, financial, work-related, whatever it is, God, that nothing is impossible for you. I pray you would remind us that you hold our life in your hands, God. You are more than enough for us. You're our portion, God. We thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's just give God a hand of praise. We just thank you, God. You can be seated this morning. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. At the end of the service, if you are a first-time visitor, would you make your way into the foyer? Someone will be there to greet you, get your information, have a little gift for you. At this time, it's time for our offering. We have our offering buckets to the front. You can come forward and you give your offering. God, we thank you. We pray that you would multiply this offering. God, that you would bring faith in the house. God, we just thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Also, as you're bringing your offering to the front, our fine arts team is on the road today. They are competing in Florida and Orlando this week. We're very proud of them. We thank you for helping them get there, that you, by your generosity and contributions, and we know we're going to be represented well. And we also want to pray for them, that traveling safety, and that they would be able to represent with excellence. God, we just thank you. Will you join me in prayer, praying for protection, and that they would have a week of representation, but also be poured into, because their service is every night, that not only are they going to compete, but they're also going to receive something as well. God, we just pray. I pray protection over their vehicle right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that your protection would be around them. God, I pray for every step they take this week, you would go before them and behind them, God, that you would guide them, that you would keep your hand upon them, that you would open their hearts and minds to receive what you have for them this week in the evening services as well. And we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, we're so, like I said, we're so glad that you guys all joined us today. We have a special treat today as well. Pastor Eric Earhart is going to be with us. By the time I came here, he had already moved on, but his reputation well preceded him as well. And we're blessed to all be on the same team. He served here as the outreach ministry leader. And I heard that you did SWAT, servants with a testimony in a wild green renovated bread truck, is what Pastor says. And in 2012, you went to Gatesville and established Upper Room Assembly. So can we just give a hand of welcome to Pastor Eric?
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Miranda. We appreciate that. All right, let's get something I can throw my junk on here. Yeah, praise God. Look, I didn't come prepared to be hip enough for you guys. I didn't know you. Yeah. All right, yeah. Thank you, sir. Praise God. Give him a hand, guys. Don't y'all thank God for the servants of God who are not afraid to get their hands dirty. Amen? Amen. For me, it's an emotional journey to be here. So if I get a little teary, y'all guys will forgive me. 21 years ago, I sat on that back corner right over there. I walked in inconspicuously, and I was an inmate in the Gates County Department of Corrections. And they had given me a six-hour pass because I was almost about to get out of prison. And so as you're about to get out, they begin to give you what they call CV passes, community visit passes. And I had asked a family that I knew locally, where can I go to church at? I want to go worship. And they said, oh, you need to go to the carpenter shop over in Ahoskie with Pastor Wallace Phillips. And so I came, and no one knew me, and I didn't want anybody to know me. And I came back, and I sat on that back row over there in the back corner. And the worship began, and I began to weep. I couldn't believe that God loved me enough to let me come hang out with folks like you. I thought, like, am I the most special person to you in the world, Lord? That you would let me come sit with your people and praise you? You can't believe how precious y'all are to people out there. Don't fall for CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or anyone else. Don't listen to the lies or the rhetoric or the tricks of the enemy. You, me now, us, with all of our brokenness and mess and pettiness and jealousy and insecurities and all of our garbage, our dysfunction, our judgments, all of that, you and I, the body of Christ, are the most precious people on the face of the earth. And it's not because we're better than anybody else, because somewhere along the way to join this club, you did this. And you said, not only am I not better than anybody else, I'm a stinking mess, and I just need Jesus Christ to set me free. Come on, give my hand clap of praise if you know what I'm saying. Somewhere to join this club, you realized that you were not okay and you needed a physician. And that, my brothers and sisters, in case you haven't noticed, the world is all about self-promotion and clicks and likes. It's all about the idolization of self. And to have people like us be willing to set aside our own kingdoms on earth and declare there's one king, and it's his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I tell you what, I am as excited today as I was 21 years ago to worship with CSIC right here this morning. God bless y'all, and thank y'all for having us here today. Y'all are special to me, I can tell you that. Now, before I get started, because I love storytelling, I got to go ahead and tell a story. Pastor Wallace isn't here. I know he's going to watch it, so I'm going to go ahead and tell on him here for a minute from years ago. So I get out of prison. He invites me to come be a part of the ministry. I take the outreach ministry. So I begin to go door to door. I start street witnessing in the neighborhoods. We got a big old bread truck, as you heard, and we turned it into the SWAT van. That thing was lime green with safety orange lettering, and we had big old speakers on the top of that rascal, and we had puppet stages and all in it. We'd pull into I come into a neighborhood, that thing swaying back and forth, and we'd have Carmen blasting in front. Who's in the house? Huh? Come on, y'all remember that? The '80s, '90s, right? We'd roll into a town, and the people would jump out. We'd set the puppet stages up, and we'd have the music pumping, and the kids would come rolling out, and it was just a grand time. But poor Pastor Wallace had invited a gentleman who had just done 6 years in the Army and 4 years in prison into his staff. Oh my, he did not bargain for what he got. So one Wednesday night, because they were trying to figure out how to help me, you know, fit in to church life. I mean, I had just come out of a pretty brutal situation, loving Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, seeing miracles, signs, and wonders, casting out demons, healing the sick, and yet I had a long way to go for God to mature me in a lot of areas in life. And if you ask my wife, who's here, I've got a long way still. Amen. Come on, somebody. Go ahead and tell the truth and let the Lord love you. And so Pastor Wallace, he was loving the outreach, but he's like, you know, you're a servant. We're going to use you in some other areas. So they tried me in the Royal Rangers one Wednesday night. They said, well, we'll try you out in Royal Rangers. And I said, well, yeah, all right, I can do it. What is it? And he's like, it's like Boy Scouts. And I said, okay, yeah, sign me up. And so they put me up there one night and gave me the 10 to 12s or whatever. And we're up there, and there's this snotty-nosed little brat. They kept interrupting me, and I was like, boy, who are you? And he's like, I'm Bob. And I was like, well, Bob, you don't shut up. I'm going to grab you by your underwear, and I'm going to string you up. And the kid's looking like this. And then he did it again, and that was it. I grabbed him by his shirt, and I said, Bob, who's your daddy? And he said, my dad is so-and-so. I said, come on, we're going down to the sanctuary. And I come down in the middle. Yikes. Pastor Wallace was like, you're not in Rangers anymore. We're going to find something else for you to do. So he said, well, you know what? You've been leading all these people to Christ in our outreach program. How about this? We'll put you with adults on a Wednesday night Bible study on a first principles discipleship program. And I said, yeah, sign me up. I didn't care. I was like, whatever. I was just so excited to be here. Right? Aren't you excited in the kingdom of God? Man, I was just excited. Sign me up, baby. And so he said, all right, well, we're going to put you in here. So he would do the adult study in here, the normal study. And I had a little classroom in the back with about six or eight people that I was doing a new believers class. And I think Pastor Danny was teaching that night. And so Pastor Wallace is making the rounds, walking through the building. And he just happens, you know how the Lord sets you up. Pastor Wallace just happens to walk by the classroom while I'm reached across, and I've got this gentleman by his collar, and I pulled him over the table, and we're face to face across the table. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're going to have to. And Pastor Wallace walks by and sees that, and he comes running in the room and grabs me and yanks me out in the hallway. He said, Pastor Eric, you cannot put your hands on the members. I said, Pastor Wallace, I was just trying to help the man see what the Bible says. So years later, of course, I came back and just apologized that he had to put up with me on staff. Amen? Amen. So, guys, we are so precious in the world. And I want to unravel some myths with you today and try to build some unity in the community, if you don't mind. I've got a word for the house, and I believe it's a word that's going to excite you and energize you and get you back in the game where you need to be in the kingdom of God. You see, when I came into the kingdom, when I got born again, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I had never even heard there was a Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. I didn't know. I had no real instructors, yet I had many people investing in my life, and it was so precious. In the prison system, we had all these different denominations that would sign up, and they would come in, and some would come and just want to sit with you and pray because that was their gifting, and others would come over, and they would preach some hellfire and brimstone and break it down for you. And we had all this variety that would come into the prison. And so when I got out of prison and came into the body of Christ, I had no idea how tribal we were. I had no idea how broke up we were and how the accuser of the brethren. Come on, somebody knows his name. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, was in operation in the body of Christ. I had no idea. You see, I didn't know we was different. I thought you was heathen, what I used to be, and Christian, what I am now. I didn't realize, you know, because back then we weren't really talking spectrum yet. Come on, somebody. I didn't know there was spectrum of Christianity. I thought you was either in or you was out.
I thought you belonged to the devil or you belonged to Jesus. And I got out of prison just on fire for the Lord, and I began to find out that good brothers and sisters, they be accusing each other. Well, them folks, they, and that group over there, and I was thinking, are y'all even saved? But then I begin to realize that we do have an enemy. His name declares his game. And that often, if we're not wise, we fall prey to his devices. Now, you need to understand that the enemy always works like this. When I was in the army, we would always try to divide and... In the world, political parties try to divide and... Satan in the body of Christ tries to divide and, come on, y'all are getting this. Just tell your neighbor it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Because we're going to go ahead and break it down and expose this lie. So I get out. I come into an on fire, Bible believing, tongue talking, spirit filled body of Christ right here in Carpenter Shop. And I was excited. And then I was thinking, everywhere I went, when I went to other churches or I went to other groups, I was expecting them to be as excited as I was. Until I found out, oh, you go to that church. What you mean, that church? Don't they let them black people in over there? Or, and if I was in another neighborhood, ain't that one where they got that white preacher? Like, what? They talking tongues over there. Everywhere you are, they go, wait a minute, don't we both love Jesus? What are you talking about? What kind of garbage are you breaking down here? What you spitting? Ah, come on, y'all going to get with me here in a minute. We're going to take you on this journey. Y'all got to remember, I come over from Gates County. We ain't very smooth. We're going to get you there. We get it done. So I began to examine why this takes place and what happens. And I think you got to understand there's a natural order to things and there's a supernatural order. And so the natural order is to divide and conquer. The natural order is to accuse. The natural order is to tear others down so I can lift me up. That's the natural order of things. But the supernatural order of things is I think I hear the word of God saying there's neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian nor Scythian, nor male nor female. Come on, somebody. I hear the word of God declaring that at the foot of the cross, we're all the same. That is the supernatural order of God. Now, what we need is we need a revolution in the body of Christ that takes that beyond these four walls, that takes this out into the world, and it says that if you love Jesus the way I love Jesus, I think it's time we begin to connect and advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, somebody, if you can get with that. Now, I want to give you a couple of verses here. I think you're all familiar with them. If you don't mind, I'm going to put on some spectacles. Amen. Whoa, look at that. Glory. John 13:34. And you got to love the book of John because, like, Jesus just doom, 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 doom. He just nailed this over and over and over. John 13:34, what do we have? He says, a new commandment. Come on, tell your neighbor a new. It's a new one. Why? Because the natural order is to not do this. A new commandment I give you that you should love one another. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't as good looking as this guy over here. Right? And I ain't got the artwork that he's got. And if we walk down the street and he sees some old dude with gray hair and all and looking all, you know, trying to look all proper. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, son. How are you doing, son? And he's doing his thing with his little artwork, right? Got that music of Jesus in his mind. It'd be easy to think we should not connect until all of a sudden I hear him telling the cashier there in the church or in the line there at Walmart, I hear him telling her about how Jesus changed his life. Look, whatever external differences we may have had to start with, I better jump right in and start praising with him. You know what I'm saying? Because we are brothers in Christ. We are one. All the barriers are tore down. He said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. I don't know about you, but that ain't easy. It ain't easy. Come on, somebody. You got to help a preacher out here with an amen. It ain't easy. Ooh. Like, I have a hard time sometimes putting up with myself. How in the world am I supposed to put up with you? John 15:12. And he said, this is my command. Love one another as I've loved you. Now, of course, y'all know in 17:21, John, that his prayer is that through this love, that we would all be made one. Now, I don't know about you, but I hear this stuff, and I'm trying to connect with buzzwords. I like speech. I like culture. I like to examine human beings. I like to look at things. I'm one of them people to geek out on that stuff. I sit around all night listening to professors on YouTube and watching lectures from the 50s, 60s, 70s. I want to hear something smart. If you ain't smart, you want to get smart. Never mind. And one of the things that really, really, really intrigues me is how humans work. Like, once you kind of figure out how we work, you realize we ain't super complicated, right? You can begin to understand how God is working with you and how God is working with others. You can begin to get a revelation of what's going on in your life. Like you can begin to then put perspective on tribulation. You can begin to then grab a hold of tragedy and make it into triumph once you begin to work with God on how he actually works in you. Once you get rid of fantasy and get rid of a rational reality, and I'm going to tell you right now, don't you let anybody tell you anything other. Believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who rose from the dead, believing in Jehovah, Yahweh, the Creator, is the most rational thing that humans can do. There is nothing superstitious or irrational about our faith. And so then you begin to believe and understand how people operate, and then you know why we begin to separate ourselves, why we struggle with insecurity, how sin affects every area in our life, and then you see what separates us. And you see how easy it is for people to separate us, to break us down into tribalism, to get us accusing one another and separating from one another. You see, it is really the easiest thing there is to do. I am the husband of Shari Earhart and the father of Mitch, Mandy, Michael, Missy, Miles, and Matthew. Glory, as the man said. And I say amen. And I don't need a doctoral thesis to break down human interaction and conflict. I have Exhibit A. Glory. So, I get out of church. God gives me an understanding of how sin perverts us, how Satan accuses us. And then I begin to realize that, hold on, wait a minute. 98% of all hospitals in America have their founding by people of faith. 97% of all orphanages in America found it by Christians. 7 out of 10 of every dollar given to homeless shelters, food banks, and orphanages given by people, Christians, in America. The UN had reported back in 2010 that the Pentecostal church alone, listen to me, the Pentecostal church alone had given more aid to Africa in the 20th century than all the nations of the UN combined. Y'all ain't clapping for Jesus there? Y'all help more poor folk than all the nations of the earth. But my goodness, we can begin to judge each other. Because you know them Baptists. You know how they are. Look, if you don't, I'm going to tell you how they are, sister, because they messed up. And the Methodists, oh my, you ever seen the Methodists? We ain't even going to talk about the Catholics. You know, they all going to. You see, I get out. I'm all excited to worship with y'all. I love Jesus, and I'm just looking for other people who love Jesus. And I begin to find people that want to judge other people to love Jesus who say they love Jesus. Oh, Pastor Wallace is going to say, he's going to get back and say, man, Pastor, we just can't never have you again. You done put everybody on Front Street. So let's take a look. We have a little slide here. I'm going to walk through why I love you. Why I love the body of Christ. Why I love people like me who are just as messed up as a football bat, who have a story of redemption and deliverance and healing and mercy from a God who loves. I want you to know why I love you and love them. So we're going to take a little journey through the body of Christ, if y'all don't mind. It shouldn't take very long. And I have some lovely assistants that are going to help me out. All right, so you know the deal. We all have these kind of peculiar judgments we do. So you go along with me, and let's see if we can resonate with any of these along the way. Give me the first slide, please. Because I want you to help me recognize them Methodists. You see, if you know anything about the Methodists, come on up here. We have our Methodist pastor joining us here today. Can you give her a hand, please? See, if you know anything about Methodism, well, if you're a Pentecostal, you know this, that they like smoke cigarettes and drink beer. And they're letting gay people like preach. Like, that's what you hear today about the Methodists. But I want to break something a little different down for you. You see, Methodism, John Wesley started something. Do you know what the Methodist movement means? The method is, this is the method, that people like me shouldn't be the ones that are carrying the gospel. The people with the card in their wallet from a denomination. The people with letters and numbers and figures before their name. Reverend Dr. Eric Erhard. No. John Wesley said, wait a minute. Those ordained ministers ain't supposed to do the work of the ministry. It's supposed to be the people. And that was the method. That's what, if y'all don't know, the method was that he developed what was called holy clubs. You now call them Sunday school. Come on. They were called holy clubs. And what he did is he said, now look, we got 300 folk here today, and I know about 75 of y'all just want to go deeper with Jesus. Now, John Wesley didn't talk like that. I'm just giving you the Gates County version, okay? Y'all get that. Don't be going telling people that I was quoting John Wesley. So, and he says, now, out of all of y'all, I know some of y'all want to go a little deeper with Jesus, so we're going to start a little club over here called the Holy Club. And out of that Holy Club, you begun to go, oh, well, you got clinics, and you got orphanages, and you got feeding centers, and you got people that were going to go down into the coal mines there and into the boroughs of England and begin to reach the broken and the needy for Jesus. You see, he was the one that invented the idea that it wasn't the priesthood of the priest. It was the priesthood of the believer. And in that DNA and in that very fiber of Methodism, and look, this thing was so important. I'm going to go ahead and break down. Do we got time? I got to break down just a little bit of history. I'm a geek for this stuff, so y'all just bear with me a minute. Anybody ever heard of the AME Zion Church? If you don't know the power of Methodism, you need to know the launch of that denomination, the African Methodist Episcopalian Church. You see, a man got saved by a Methodist preacher riding his horse, coming in town. That's what they used to do. I'd have rode one here, but I couldn't get all my kids on it. The Methodist preachers would ride into town because there wasn't no churches there yet. There wasn't nothing going on. I don't know what the Baptists are over there, but we'll talk about them in a minute. And he would ride into town, and he would set up, and he would invite all the towns around to just come on out and hear the preaching of the gospel. Well, lo and behold, a gentleman who was a local there got saved, gloriously born again. Life radically changed. I don't know if he was talking in tongues. They didn't record that, but I'm thinking he was. Come on, somebody say amen. You know when the Holy Ghost hits you, you might not be able to call it tongues, but something just happened. Ah, woo, come on. And this man was a slave owner. So he goes home, and he starts preaching to the slaves there at his plantation. And lo and behold, the gospel worked on them, and they got saved. And then this one brother, says, I want to be a preacher. He said, well, Bob, I think you should be a preacher. He said, but there's a problem. I'm a slave. He said, well, I could give you your freedom. You're a brother in Christ now. Come on, listen to me. Y'all need to know what Methodism did. He said, well, the whole point of this thing is that anybody, just the nobodies, can be raised up to be ministers of the gospel. That's what Methodism is. So, like, even slaves, like, there's no barrier, there's no boundary. But wait a minute, it's against the law in the Episcopal Church. It was against the law for me to be a minister. He said, well, okay. He said, well, look, I'm going to give you your freedom, and then you can get trained up to preach. And he said, the problem is, I hocked my whole land to be able to purchase you, to be able to work the land so that I would be able to buy it back. Listen to this. So the man says, well, wait a minute. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to work your land in a day, and I'm going to go work Fred's land at night. And I'm going to pay you back for every penny you paid for me. And together we're going to go out and launch the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do y'all know how AME Zion got started? So it was illegal for him to be a preacher in the established church of the time. So they said, well, let's go start the African Methodist Church. And it won't be illegal for you to preach in your own denomination. And he went out and launched his own denomination under the tutelage of John Wesley and other people. My brothers and sisters, you need to understand the power of Methodism. And we can accuse them. I accuse them. I used to accuse them terribly. We can accuse them of all the shortcomings they've got. But what I love, and even right now in Gates County, North Carolina, three of the last five Methodist pastors that come into that community have been women. Now, the Assemblies of God used to pride itself on being the denomination that really ordained and launched women into the ministry. But the same group that wasn't afraid to raise slaves up and unleash them in the gospel of Jesus Christ today is not afraid to keep reaching out to people they believe are marginalized and in need of a hand of love. And we can find reasons to accuse them, or we can find reasons to celebrate them. And I'm going to tell you right now, I love the Methodist Church because they believe in the priesthood of the believer. They believe in getting out and letting anybody be a part and go out and do the work of the ministry. And listen to this, like it or not, they have a heart for the nobodies just like me. Come on, don't you love the Methodist Church too, guys? Now, let's go ahead and get on the one we all like to pick on, because whether you know it or not, 8 out of 10 evangelical believers worship in this church. Let's go ahead and pick on the Baptists for a minute. Somebody say amen. Look at these young, fine young Baptist folk over here, huh? Glory to God. There's a lot of things that the Baptists can be picked on for. And I in my own home, these children, because I got to go in and confess it just because y'all talk to them after service and they tell on me. I'd be picking on the Baptists in my own home, my own kitchen table. Come on, somebody say amen. Y'all know the deal. And I repent right now before you in the name of Jesus. The Baptists have a love for the Bible. They get accused of being fundamentalist. They get accused of being narrow-minded. They get accused of being bigoted. But what you can't accuse them is of watering down the Scripture, because they stand on the infallible Word of God. They stand when no one else stands. They are the number one producer of evangelical Christian literature and curriculum for the body of Christ. Even good Pentecostal churches be using some of that Baptist material. Come on, somebody. If you ain't done a Beth Moore study, you ain't done nothing. I can tell you that right now in Jesus' name. The Baptists love the Word of God. They have brought into the world the congregational method. They unleashed on us the idea that the government should not appoint a pastor, and then the pastor come tell you what to do, and he's the only one that can give you sacraments, and he's the only one that can baptize you, and he's the only one. And the Baptist said, nah. No, we're going to build our own stinking church. We're going to get together a board. You know how them boards are. And we're going to vote us in a preacher. And then they began to do it all across America, dotting across the land. Doom, 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 doom. Congregationalism. Well, they didn't wait for the government to tell them to worship Jesus, how to worship Jesus, and when to worship Jesus. They said, we can get together and do this ourselves. Thank you very much. Amen. The Baptists brought in congregational life into America, and it exploded the gospel across the land, and it had the British government jacked up like you can't believe. They were dunking them, they were drowning them, they were beheading them in England, they were hanging them, and they were burning them at the stake, because them folks ain't supposed to be starting no churches by themselves. Well, and then the other thing they do, I love them Baptists. They love the Bible, and they love some fried chicken. Come on, somebody, amen. Don't you love the Baptists too? Amen and amen. Now we're going to get real controversial for you. We're going to bring in the real controversy. Give us our next group here. The parachurch, the freaky people, freaky Jesus, freak of Jesus. The hippie church, if you remember, there was a group called DC Talk, and back in the 90s, they had a hit song called Jesus Freaks. What will people do when they find out I'm a Jesus freak? What will people say when they find out it's true? And one of their lines is a classic line. And it's about I don't know if I should quote this line or not, but it's a Christian song, you know, kind of whatever. It's a crossover song. But the line is about a fat dude on a street corner preaching hellfire and brimstone with Jesus tattooed across his belly. Can I tell you right now that I know a lot of good Christians that would mock that person. They mock the street corner preachers. They mock the people that do the little storefront thing. But my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, there's some personalities out there that are a little eclectic. There's some people that just can't really get along with lots of other people. And they got saved just like you did. Now, my goodness, you're the best-looking man in the room right now, I got to tell you. But there'll be folk that walk around in their bare feet with a teen tank top on and some frayed jean shorts, and they love Jesus every bit as much as we do. And they need an environment where they can proclaim him and worship him and declare him. And, I think I hear that prayer again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, there's a place for the crazy Jesus freak in the body of Christ too. There's a place for that folk that can't get along with no one else, but for somehow they can sit with a crackhead all day and tell them about Jesus. You don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. We got a group of five men that like to go into prisons and jails. I told them I spent enough time in there. Thank you. I don't think you heard me. I had enough days. But they love it. They love it. Now, I think it's because they have a captive audience. It was a lame joke. I get it, right? But look, I'm not kidding, because when we tried these same men to like do Sunday school or small groups, they think they have a captive audience. And we had to reel them in and put a muzzle on them. Like, no, you got to let other people talk. But they get into that jail and they begin to listen to the stories of these men. And then they pour out the gospel and they pray together, and they have found their spot in the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ. They don't fit in the normal church all that great sometimes. The pastor has to put up with them. Kind of like Pastor Wallace had to do with some dude. Never mind. The pastor has to tolerate them more than others. But God has gifted them to go do something that you and I can't do. I don't know about you. I ain't standing on a street corner going, Jesus loves you, man. That ain't my call. But there are people out there, thoroughly born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, who love Jesus with all their heart, that are just as broken and dysfunctional and messed up as you are. That was your amen moment. You got it, okay? And they go out and do the work of the kingdom too. And they are us, and we are them. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, now we're going to get to one that gets all of y'all mad. It's our Catholic brothers and sisters. Come on up here, our dear priest. You see, I didn't know nothing. I think that's a double negative. My wife will ding me on that one later, okay? I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything about denominations when I got born again. Nothing. I was raised Catholic, and I knew I didn't like it. The whole kneeling, standing, this, I wasn't down with it, and I didn't care less. And 1.2 billion people in the world. 1.2 billion with a B and an I worship Jesus in the Catholic Church. And most of my evangelical brothers spent, when I came into church, they tried to convince me that all them people are going to hell because of Mary. And then I began to go out into the world, and I began to actually meet people who love Jesus. And you know, when I was talking about Christians doing most of the food banks, most of the orphanages, most of all those things, our Catholic brothers make up 70% of that group. I called the Assemblies of God in Springfield the other day because I want to go to Pakistan and do some ministry. I said, connect me with someone in Pakistan. Do we have an area leader? Do we have someone that I can connect with? Do we have? And they said, we have no one anywhere in that region of Asia. It's too dangerous. And then they said this, but if you're really bent on going, we can connect with some Catholic organizations that are Whoa, wait a minute. It's too dangerous for the Assemblies of God to send anybody over there. But if you are bent on going, we can hook you up with some Catholics over there that are willing to die for Jesus in the most Muslim part of the world there is. I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, may I say this to you today. The reason I love the Catholics is because they hold some traditions all the way back from Peter. You say, well, yeah, Pastor, they messed a lot of stuff up. I don't know about you, but I've been in some Sunday schools and some AG churches. Some stuff was messed up too. Glory. They hold tradition all the way back. Things we hold sacred. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. You see, I personally am connected with and know now dozens, because I opened my mind to love the body of Christ. I know dozens of Catholics who are not only born again, but they filled with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues in their closet like you do. And they are willing, listen to me, they're willing to do two things that the evangelical church in America will not. They are willing to go to the seat of power, right to Congress, right to the Senate, and right to the White House, and they are willing to stand for the unborn in a way that no one else will. They fight for the right of life, and they are willing to excommunicate the people that claim them and say that they believe in infanticide. They will bar you from communion with them if you believe in killing babies. I don't know about you, but the stand they take for life is unparalleled and unmatched in the world. And the other thing they do that no one else does is they will go into the most dangerous parts of the world. They die. When we were all, and Shari and I have friends in the AG, when ISIS, y'all may remember, you see, 7 years ago, it was all in the news that a group of Christians called the Yazidis were trapped on a mountain in northern Iraq. And ISIS was killing them all, literally just killing every male, child, or man, and taking all the females into the sex slave trade. And we had friends that were AG that were right outside of that and trying to get some of the women rescued and brought to them. Who were the ones that were willing to actually go in? Who were all the pastors? When you read on the news of pastors being beheaded, burnt to death, drowned, stoned, and killed, they were all Catholic priests. That's who they were. And they were not afraid to go into ISIS territory and try to rescue these women and bring them out of the sex slave trade. And seven of them were brutally killed in the most grievous fashion you can think of that a human can do to a human. ISIS did to seven Catholic priests in northern Syria. My brothers and sisters, may I say to you that whatever, listen to me, whatever whatever struggle your mind has with individual pieces of their doctrine, would you allow your love for people who love Jesus and are willing to give their life for him to overcome your struggles in connecting with our brothers and sisters in the world? This is why I love the Catholic Church. Now, we got to get to the one that's just giving the AG fits right now. You see, we're the fastest growing denomination in America. Come on. We're the world's largest Pentecostal denomination. We are the world's largest mission sending organization. The AG is pretty hip. What do they say now? We're lit. But there's another church that's vying with us. They fighting. They trying to take that top spot. And that's our non-denom brothers. Because they're hip. They got the hair. They got the clothes. They got the lights. They got the smoke. The non-denominational church is hip, and they are breaking it down, and they're making it happen, right? They are growing at a rate that is unbelievable. They're exploding. And you know why? Because somewhere along the way, brothers and sisters are tired of tribalism, and they just want a church that don't have no name out on the street that says, I'm not them. And the non-denominational church is exploding right now. They embrace the unconventional. They reach a new generation, and they blend many traditions. Right now, there's a non-denominational church that launched 5 years ago in Seattle, Washington. They bought an old Catholic building, a giant cathedral that was shut down, closed down, completely dilapidated, and they bought that thing, and now they have Pentecostal tongue-talking worship services in there preaching Jesus Christ, and they kept all the traditions with the candles, and the, like they kept all these, and they blended that, and this thing exploded. And it went from nothing to 3,000 people in 5 years as people were just not wanting to be put in a box. We're tired of being segregated. We're tired of being told, I can't hang out with you because you and I don't make the same amount of money. I can't hang out with you because we ain't got the same skin color. I can't worship with you because we got this little different belief. You're pre-trib, I'm post-trib, and I'm no-trib, and whatever. And the world is tired of it, and people just want to come together and worship Jesus Christ. We're tired of it. And the non-denominational church is the very essence. They are the explosion of that spirit. Now, you know, we got to wrap this up with us truly, the Pentecostal holiness movement. Come on, give a hand to our Pentecostal holiness girl here. She is truly a Pentecostal holiness girl. She's filled with the Holy Ghost and loves Jesus with all her heart, and she lives her life in a personal journey of holiness before God. In her own life and in our life of our children, my wife epitomizes the Pentecostal holiness movement. A people aflame with the Spirit. We keep that tradition alive. When we get too far into just wanting to do good for folks, we remind them that the folks you're doing good for need to be born again. Come on, somebody. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's okay to help a drug addict, but don't leave me a drug addict. Give me some hope in Jesus Christ. The Methodists are beautiful, but the Pentecostal holiness, they bring the flame of fire. Now, we love them non-denoms. They are just awesome with the hair. They all got spiked. If you ain't noticed, they all got spiked hair, shaved on the side of the head. They got tight, skinny jeans. They are on it. But our non-denom brothers and sisters, they ain't got no missions movement. They're not reaching the world. Because right now, they're reaching their neighborhood. And that's good. But you understand, there's got to be those who believe that Jesus is calling me to go to the uttermost parts of the world and take the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need that. And for some reason, God has centered on the Pentecostal holiness movement as being that movement. All that entails, you got the PH Church, and you got the AG Church, and you got the Foursquare Church, and you got the, like, all of us together, we bring the Spirit and the fire. We bring missions-minded. And then let me go ahead and just break this down. Now and this don't apply here because actually Carpenter Shop kind of defies this. Oh, I just whacked the Catholic priest in the head. Come on up here, PH girl. You see, there's another thing that the Pentecostal movement does, and this is dear to my heart. You see, when we were about to get married, she came from a denomination that used to be kind of like the AG, but they got highfalutin. They got money and all that good stuff. And they kind of left their roots. And she was told, well, you don't want to marry one of them Pentecostals. Poor people go to their churches. Let me tell you something. If there's nothing else on Jesus' heart, it's to reach the poor and the broken and the needy and the dysfunctional and the lost. So when she told me that was said to her, I said, that's the greatest compliment we could ever have. That we, our little segment of the body of Christ, if we're just a hair on the big toe of Jesus, come on, somebody. That's our little role to play, us Pentecostals. We so believe in the born-again experience. We so believe in life transformation. We so believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we don't believe it matters where you start. We only think it matters where God has taken you. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, give him a hand clap of praise. You see, if the Pentecostals wouldn't take in poor folk, I'd have never got highfalutin enough to be able to marry someone so beautiful. Little did they know that I was one of them poor folk. Now, I don't know how the carpenter shop wants to close, but this beautiful group is jumping on a bus right now here in a few minutes and heading to Orlando too. We're heading down to the fine arts as well, and we covet your prayers. Don't worry about it, guys. If a tornado comes, we're all going to be with Jesus together. We're good. Don't worry about it. I've been stabbed twice, shot at 5 times, run over twice. You ain't going nowhere until Jesus Christ is done with you. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. Now, this is what I want you to do with me. I don't know how they want to close, but this is how I want to close. Stand to your feet with me if you don't mind. You see, somewhere along your journey with Jesus, after you got born again and came into the body of Christ, like maybe you were raised in church, I don't know. But somewhere along the way, I can guarantee you this, somebody tried to teach you how to not love these. Somebody, and that, we know who he is. Come on, we already gave it. We ain't going to give him no more praise. We know what his name is. Wants me and you to accuse our brothers and sisters who don't look like us. And today, I would like to take you through a journey of repentance with me, because Carpenter Shop International Church has not seen its best days. God ain't done with y'all yet. You're not just going to be multiracial or multigenerational. You're going to be multi-denominational. God is going to use you to unleash something in the whole body of Christ. Only if we can love one another. Come on, lift your hands to God. Father, in Jesus' name, I repent right now of the accusations against those who love you and are called according to your purposes. Father, would you please forgive me, wash me of that, O God, and unleash in me a fresh revelation of the beauty of the body of Christ. That your body is large, O God. It's wide, O God. It's deep, O God. It goes into every culture and every area of the earth, O God. And allow me, Father, to have a beauty and appreciation for those who are yours. Now, Father, help me to stop accusing preachers that I don't like what they preach. Help me to stop accusing denominations and churches because I don't like what they do. And help me connect, oh God, with others who love you the way I love you. Father, set me free from my prejudices so you can unleash me in your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on. In Jesus' name I pray. And all the people of God said amen and amen. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise and a shout of hallelujah. May you walk in freedom that comes from love. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen.
We heard it, haven't we? Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. We really appreciate you and your family. They've been friends of ours and fellow believers, and we've been through a lot together. I started about the same time he did, and we grew up in this stuff together. We do thank you for your attention. And I think it's extremely important that we put to practice what the Lord has delivered today. Amen? Amen? I've been there. I've been in those places. And I know what he's talking about. But there will come a day when the body of believers is mature. And they will be unified. And we don't want to be left out of that. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for this dear brother, this pastor who has poured into us this morning, who has brought truth and brought a challenge. Let us take that challenge, cross those barriers, and do greater things for your kingdom. Now, we pray for them as they travel down to Florida. We ask you, Lord, that you protect them all along the way, that you sweep every highway clean before him, Lord, that there'd be no problems for their travel. And, Lord, that you would just ignite them again. Ignite them again and let them come back fired up, doing greater things for your kingdom. Now, Lord, bless us as we leave here. Bring us back at the appropriate time. And use us, Lord, mightily tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Be blessed.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah. Love
you. All right, you're about to be on a wet ride.
Windshield wipers work, right?
Yeah.